I'm going to have you go to John chapter number 6. We're teaching through a series right now that I called A Christian's Guide to Optimum Mental Health. And I'm not going to reintroduce it in length, but I think we all know that if you pay attention to the news, you pay attention to almost any part of society, from the kindergarten class to the college, you're hearing the same thing. You know, we're in a mental health crisis. Thank you. We're in a mental health crisis. And you hear that over and over and over again. I believe our mental health crisis is self-inflicted for the most part. I believe that when we replaced biblical thinking with humanistic thinking, we created a crisis. I don't think we saw the extent of what that crisis would be when we first started the process. And that's the way the devil works, you know. Well, it's not going to hurt to just change this emphasis and change that emphasis. But it's interesting, folks, listen to me. From the 1960s, when they kicked God and prayer and the Bible out of the public school system, excuse me, but let's get in a time machine and go back and visit the public school system during the 60s. And I'm not saying it was perfect then, but I promise you this. It was a lot better situation to be sending your kids into than it is today. And some of the things that are happening on a regular basis in our public school system wouldn't have even been thought to have happened just now 50, 60 years ago. And so what's happened? You know, everybody's panicking because they see the results of it, but nobody wants to face up to the fact that when we got away from this book, it changed America. And now we're several generations into that, and sadly, folks, we are dealing with the mess we have today. So we're breaking down different mindsets. We're going to compare a biblical mindset to a humanistic mindset. They're always polar opposites, and they always affect the way we view life, view ourselves, and view the Lord and His will in our lives. And so we're going to look in John chapter 6. And let's see here. I'll begin reading verse number 1. Very familiar story. We're going to use this as kind of a basis to teach this. The mindsets we're going to compare, you've heard it said before, is half full or half empty. Half full or half empty. I'll use this jar in just a minute. Somebody fills a cup or a glass or a jar halfway. Some people would say, well, that's it's half empty. Some of them would say, well, it's half full. You say, well, that's a minor difference. No, it's a major difference. And so we'll introduce that. John chapter 6, verse number 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover feast of the Jews was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great multitude, a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Notice the next question. But what are they among so many? Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as many as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments, wow, watch this, that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them which had eaten. Heavenly Father, Lord, bless our time here. And Lord, help us, dear God. Help us to see things differently. See things through your eyes. See things, Lord, from a biblical perspective, as we go about to serve you, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't even think we were talking about half full in this story. When you've got 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, and you've got 5,000 men, not including women and children, it probably looked more like about that instead of half full. And, you know, if I asked you, would you like something to drink? And you say, well, I would. And I went into the kitchen, you a guest in my home, and I came back and gave you this. You would probably look at me like, really? And or even Americans, come on, we think we got to have everything overflowing. So even if I filled it like that, half full or thereabouts, you may look like, well, maybe he's short of water. You know, I heard that there was shortages. And so maybe they are... But rationing water, and some folks would take a look at this and say, well, that's not enough. I certainly believe the disciples looked at what that young man had, and their first reaction, first thought, when Philip brought this young man to the Lord's attention is, well, that wouldn't be enough. That's not enough. Folks, this is so key, because a lot of times we look at what we have, and we say, well, it's not enough. And so, well, if it's not enough, why try? Okay, obviously it's not going to work, so why try? That's not how Jesus viewed the same situation. The disciples looked in that little basket and said, not enough. And Jesus looked in that little basket and said, yeah, that'll do. That'll do. There's enough. Watch this, folks. You know what? Very seldom has God in my lifetime supplied me a surplus of things that I feel like are so essential. Let me just say a few things. I've never felt like I've had enough time. Right. Anybody in here ever feel like, boy, you know what? The one thing I can tell you is I have enough time to get everything done I need to get done. I always felt like when it comes to time, there's not enough. Right. Okay? I never feel like I have enough strength. You know, probably did 20, 30 years ago, but, you know, now it's like, man alive, you know what? I can't get done quite what I used to get done. And, man, if I had a little bit more energy, well, I'll try to finish it tomorrow. And so I never felt that. I never felt like I've had enough resources. You know, how many times have you said, you know what, if we just had this, if we had this little bit more coming in, or if I had access to these things, you know what? We could do so much more for the Lord. And Lord, come on. And I don't, I'll tell you, be honest with you, I've never felt like I have had enough wisdom. You know, I don't tell you how many times I've sat down and looked at a situation and looked within my own self and said, Lord, I'm short on when it comes to this. I'm really not sure what to do. I don't know how to handle this. It just seems like on these most important areas of life, I want to sometimes complain to the Lord, Lord, you didn't give me enough. But then I discovered a formula that has worked so well, and it's a biblical formula, and I'm going to give it to you. Not enough plus God is enough. Not enough plus God is enough. I'm sorry, but if you'd have handed that basket to anybody but Jesus, it wouldn't have been enough. But the minute that you give Jesus what is not enough, isn't it amazing that it can become enough? Now watch this. If we had enough, we wouldn't have to hand it to Jesus. Wouldn't have to get him involved in the situation. You know, I believe this with all my heart, that God on purpose, in most endeavors of life, withholds from us what we need to get something done or get something accomplished. You know why? He doesn't want you to do it in your strength. He doesn't want you to do it in your power. He doesn't want you to do it with your resources. He doesn't want you to do it with your wisdom. And so he gives you less than you think you need. You know why? Because if he didn't, you'd think you didn't need him. And honestly, the most important, I think, element of anything we do is the interaction with God while we're doing it. Because that's where our faith is built. So I want to talk a little bit about that. Preacher, what do you do when your cup is half full or half empty? And what do you do when you do not have enough? Okay, so sometimes finances, I've mentioned strength, resources, time, wisdom. What do I do if I just, preacher, I'm just frustrated in this area because I don't have enough to get the job done. I don't have enough to do what needs to be done. Okay, I'm going to give you several things. Number one, evaluate your motive. Evaluate your motive. Look in John chapter 6, verse number 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Now, a lot of times, folks, when we complain about our resources or our finances, and we wish that God would give us more than we have, and we feel like God's shortening us in some way or hindering us in some way, before we pray and ask God to give us more, we first of all better evaluate our motive.
Yes, sir.
You know, Jesus wasn't asking, come on, for bread and fish so that him and the disciples could have a nice meal.
Right.
He wasn't concerned about himself, and he wasn't concerned about his disciples. He looked up at the need of the multitude, and he saw that his concern was that they not leave without their needs met. And folks, this is human nature. A lot of times, well, I just wish we had more money coming in. Why? And if you did, come on, let's be honest, what would you really do with it? And has God answered that prayer in the past? And then, you know what? I think God has. And, you know, then he watched. Now, you better evaluate your motive. That's why in James chapter 4, from whence come wars and fighting among you, come they not hence, even of your own lust that warn your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Well, no, but I prayed. Ye ask and receive not. Why would God withhold it? Because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts. And a lot of times, our complaining and griping, let's just be ugly honest. Let's open our hearts up before the Lord. A lot of times when we don't have enough, it's not because, Lord, if you give me more, my focus is in advancing your kingdom and meeting the needs of others and giving more to missions and investing more in ministry. A lot of times our grumbling and complaining has to do with what we want to do with the more if God gave us more. And so I think we got to sometimes be honest about that. If you're short in an area, have you proven to God already that when he does bless you, you just consume it upon your lusts? Okay, if God would have provided this basket and the disciples said, well, there's some. Hey, at least we get some. And they dove in there and ate it all up. You think Jesus would have felt the need to answer their prayers or perform a miracle? And folks, we really have to look at this. You know, too many times, this is the American Christian. Better listen. Luke chapter 12, and he spake a parable unto them, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto them, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. And so the thing I think we got to stay pure in our hearts about is this. You know what? You want to be like the Dead Sea and everything that flows in stays there? Or do you want to be a conduit or a river to which God can entrust some of his goods and his blessings, and you be tender to the Holy Spirit's leading to see that those things go in the places that God would direct them to go? And by the way, I found out if a Christian does that, God always takes care of the man who's a good steward with the things of the Lord. You listen, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. How's that verse end? And all these things shall be added unto. Hey, God takes care of him. By the way, at the end of this story, there was 12 baskets. I think there was 12 disciples. I don't know exactly what they did with the baskets, but I can promise you this. The men that spent all that time laboring and seeing that everybody else was taken care of was taken care of. And so be careful about this. What is the proper motive for needing more than a half full glass? Come on, why do you want that raise? Come on, why are you seeking, asking the Lord for more? Why are you frustrated? Come on, be honest. Why are you really frustrated that you don't have more than you have? Is it because you want to give more to God? Or do we have this little selfish secret sin, come on, hidden in our hearts, that honestly wants God to bless us so we can take it and bless ourselves? And so what was the motives here? help others in need. How about John 6:14? I didn't read that last verse. Look down at the end of that story. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet which should come to the world." There's two reasons we ought to be asking God for more if we don't have enough, and that's to help somebody else and to bring glory and honor to God.
Yes, sir.
And I find out this, if you'll take the extra that God gives you, and you know what, you'll use that to help others, and you'll use that to see that Jesus Christ is magnified, you know what, you'll find out that God entrust you with more and more. So half full or half empty. Preach, I don't have enough. Number one, evaluate your motive. Number two, inventory what you do have. Boy, this is a great truth. Sometimes we're so fixated on what we don't have, we don't take the time to inventory what we do have. Man alive, we're frustrated because we feel like God's held back something. Wait a minute. Why don't you take a step back and say, well, what has God blessed me with? John chapter 6, same story. Jesus lifted up his eyes. We've seen that. And then we see Philip, verse 7, answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them might take a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, I think I gave Philip credit for that a minute ago. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? You know, Andrew had a kind of a, honestly, a pragmatic view of the situation. Well, I don't think we have enough to feed everybody, but let's see what we do have. Hey, spread out. What's here? What is here? What do we have? And folks, this is so important. This kind of goes back to our half full, half empty, and getting the right mindset in life. Well, I don't have enough of this, and I don't have enough of that. And if I had this, I'd do this. And if I had this, I'd do that. Okay, so you don't have that. What do you have? What do you have? You know, I can relate this back to our COVID situation, you know, and you know, back in 2020, all of a sudden, this thing that was unforeseen by, I think, almost everybody but God and a few that's hiding behind the scenes plotting the thing. But you know what? All of a sudden, this descends upon America. I remember telling you that, you know, every time it seems like I'd come up with a new plan of based on what parameters we were given, you know what? 3 days later, I'd have to create another plan because they kept changing the ground rules and moving the goalposts. And I finally, you know, sat in my office one day with my head in my hands saying to God, I don't even know how to pastor anymore. All of a sudden, I'm thinking, we can't do this, we can't do this, we can't do this, we can't do this. And all of a sudden, and you know what, I was very frustrated. And then it was like the Lord just turned that situation around in my heart. Because, you know, I got down on my knees and I'm like, Lord, you got to help me. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, you're so focused on what you can't do that you're failing to see what you can do. And I remember just that thought coming in my mind. I know it came from the Lord. You're so worried about this part of the glass, you're forgetting about this part of the glass. Inventory what you have. What can you do? I mean, literally, I got up out of my chair and I thought, you know what? People don't want to take tracts anymore. I mean, if you hand somebody something, man alive, remember that those first few days, how weird it was? I remember walking into Dollar General and people are just looking at each other suspiciously as if, you know, everyone's contaminated. If you walk down the same aisle, they would scurry out the other side. And if you just looked at someone and went, hi, they almost jumped back. And you know, I thought, if they won't even say hi to me, they're not taking a track. You know, you try to check my track and they're like, you know. So you know what I did? I got out of my chair and I sat in front of my computer and I thought, well, we can't pass out a physical track. We can pass out a digital track. And I sat down and I wrote, you know, a cure for COVID, anxiety. And I wrote a gospel track. And I got with the guys that were smarter than me in our church, the IT guys. And I said, how can we take this track? I sent it, first of all, to Rebecca. She reformatted it in a digital track form, and I said, I want to be able to send this text, I want to be able to send this email, I want to be able to send this through social media. How can I empower people to pass out more tracts than they ever have in any one month in our life? And folks, listen to me, you know what? I was so fixated here, okay, I'm sorry, here, that I wasn't seeing this. And you know what? There's going to be times where you go through different situations, okay? You know, I'm going to A week from tomorrow, I've got to go through this little, annoyance, and that's how I'm viewing it right now. It's a little frustrating because it's just become kind of annoying to me. But all of a sudden, it's going to change for a while the parameters of my life and what I'm going to be able to do and what I'm not going to be able to do. And, it's so easy to slip back into that same mindset. Well, wait a minute. That means I'm going to be limited here. And so, all of a sudden, I thought, didn't God already teach me this? What am I doing? And sometimes you're going to have to go through things that's going to alter your family's life for a while. And it's so get fixated on, well, this is preventing me from. Okay. All right. All you're doing is staring at the air. Why don't you look at the water? And I really sat down and I hate to say this. I know it sounds crazy, but I am so excited about the next 18 weeks. You know why? Because I know the things that I feel like God wants me to accomplish, look right up here, that I've been so busy, probably would not have got accomplished, and it would have taken me the next 3 years to get accomplished, and you know what? I'm going to have some time. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. There you go, Jerry Ross. And the shepherd puts his foot on you, and you're just going to go, I don't like this. Well, you don't have to like it, but this is the way it's going to be for a while. And if we're not careful, we're just so worried about what we can't do, what we don't have, what we lack. A lot of times we're failing to see the blessings of the Lord, What has God made available to you? Well, preacher, I only have a limited amount of time. Well, what time do you have? Are you using it for the Lord? Okay. I don't have a lot of strength. Okay. What strength do you have? Use it for God. I remember when Dad came to me in the waning years of his life, and he said, Jerry, I just feel like I'm no good anymore. Physically, he said, I'm only good for about a half a day. And I thought to myself, you know what I told him? I told you. I said, well, Dad, then do a half a day. Okay, you know what? There's a lot of people here understand what I just said. I'm all good for a half a day. Then you know what? God's giving you half. There's some people that don't have that. I mean, they don't even have the strength to get out and do a half a day. So while you have it, use it. We can cry about the half we don't have, or we can say, well, what does God want me to do with the half I do have? Resources, well, I don't have enough. And, I'm a little tired of Christians telling me all the time what they would do if they had such and such. I'll tell you what, if I had $1 million, I'll tell you what I'd do. If I had $1 million, I'd do this. If I had $1 million, and I'll tell you the story about the pig farmer that came to the preacher and said, if I had $1 million, preacher, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd start several churches and support missionaries. And he said, okay, do you have $1 million? He said, no. He said, do you have 3 pigs? He said, preacher, that's not fair. I've got 3 pigs. Sometimes that's honestly the revealing of our heart. Is we want to hide behind the idea of, well, if I had this, I'd do this for the Lord. And instead of saying, okay, I do have this. And by the way, if you won't do for the Lord with what you do have, then God already has judged your character. Why should he trust you for what you don't have? And so, you know what? Come on. Whatever you face in life, the circumstances of life, you've got to say, okay, inventory what I do have, okay? By the way, inventory your time. Preacher, I just don't have as much time as other people. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Everybody gets 168 hours in a week. You've got the same amount of time as I do, and I've got the same amount of time as you do. I love the way we just kind of insulate ourselves with this nonsense. You just got to decide what you're going to use it for. Inventory it. Think about this. Well, I don't feel like I'm getting done. Well, do you have a to-do list? Do you work off a to-do list? If you don't plan to do it, you're not going to do it. Do you work on a schedule? Do you put it on a certain day? I'm going to do this. Then do you follow through? Do you have character? Character. Are you sleeping too much? All right. Come on, just a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. That's what brings a man to poverty. Think about that. Do you have the ability to prioritize? Well, I've got this to-do list, but it just seems like I get started on one, and then I think about this, and I jump over to this one, and I'm a great starter, but a lousy finisher. Well, rehearse that before the Lord Jesus Christ one of these days. Lord, I sure started a lot of things for you. Well, you got to prioritize. Okay, what's the most important? I think the things of the Lord ought to be at the top of the list. What are the most important? And by the way, develop some character. When you start something, get it done. Listen, I mean this. I can't even tell you the number of churches. By the way, that digital track I wrote, I sent out to every preacher that I knew in America and told them to send it out to every preacher. And I said, even though it's got our church information on the back, if you'll call Rebecca Lowen, she will redo the back of it, send you a digital copy. It won't cost you a penny. And you can send it out with your people. I can't even tell you. I cannot even tell you how many churches did that. Okay? You know what? If I'd have wrote that thing to one half and then, you know, oh, there's a butterfly. Come on. Get some character. Isolate and concentrate. Focus on something till you get it done. Okay? The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. Make your life matter. Okay, do something and prioritize it, okay? That means you can't get, well, preacher, I just got so much. Every time I look at my list, so I just go take a nap. And then, you know, you need to take a look at your life and ask yourself, you know, what is taking up so much of my time? Okay, there's some things you can delegate. There's some things you can delegate. Come on, wives. Preacher, I'll tell you what, just keeping up on the house and stuff. Well, you got all those little Indians. Maybe it's time to start training them. Stop picking up after them. Come on, if you're still picking up after a 5, 6, 7-year-old, then you need to go to training mode. Okay? You know, sometimes you delegate things. You know, if this isn't something that I have to be doing, and somebody else would love to do it, then why wouldn't I give it to somebody and be a blessing to them? Okay? Organize. Organize your life. Stop letting people pressure you and taking on responsibilities you shouldn't. Come on, offload, offload. What should not be done at all? Come on, what is taking up so much of your time that you don't have the time? You know, I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to go sewing. I know, preacher, if I had the time, I'd join the bus route. If I had the time, well, you spent 14 hours on Facebook last week. You know what I find out? People find the time for what's important to them. Listen to what your preacher's going to say. They find the time for what's most important to them, and they find the money to buy what's most important to them or to invest in what's important to them. That is America. Everybody complained about, well, I don't have enough for this. What did you have enough for? Because I promise you that reveals a lot about us. Multitask. What can be done simultaneously? This is a whole teaching unto itself. But listen, folks that are talking about we don't have time, well, what do we have? I like John 6:11. How about this? Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, thank God for what you do have. Okay? What about just getting a thankful spirit back in on it? You know? He only filled my glass half full. I see other people in the church, and God filled theirs all the way, and I only got half. And you're going to sit around the rest of your life whining about that. Jesus took that little bit, and you know what he did? He said, well, praise the Lord. You know, it doesn't seem like much, but you know what? This is what we have, and we're going to be thankful for it. Hey, let's put that into the heart of our children. Okay, you got to be careful. Moms, dads, please listen to me. You got to be careful that you do not foster a spirit of covetousness within your children. That no matter what they get or what you give them, you know, the excitement lasts about an hour and then they're asking you for something else. Contentment versus covetousness. That is a big deal in the Bible. Study those two words out. Not enough is said against the sin of covetousness. And you know, if you get this and then next thing you know, you get this and then that lasts a little while. But I want a bigger one. I want a better one. I want a bigger one. And I want a better one. And I want this. And I want that. Now I want this. And I want that. And America is spending themselves into bankruptcy just because they're covetous. Okay? Instead of looking, by the way, any of those catalogs that come in the mail, don't even open them. Just walk right over to the trash can as you're going through your mail and just throw them in there. Okay? Just throw them in there. Everybody sits down and starts looking at those things. Oh, that's neat. Oh, look at that. Oh, next thing you know what? Come on. Amazon truck is pulling up every other day. Here we go. Come on. It's like an addiction. Come on. Crack cocaine or cyber shopping. About the same thing. I mean, I think you can break crack cocaine a little easier, but anyway. Come on, and again, it's just, what are you trying to fill? What hole are you trying to fill? Because you really got to look, listen, I'm not, hey, buy stuff, I don't care. Husbands, let your wife buy some things. But, you know, I've watched people just go off the deep end in this. It's just like the more they buy, the more they want, and there's just no end. Hey, why don't we just be thankful for what we have? You'll either spend your life thankful for what time you have, or bitter because you do not have more time. You'll spend your life grateful for the strength you do have. Come on. Or angry because you don't have enough strength. You'll spend your life content with the resources God's made available to you, or covetous of what God's not put in your hand. And that is such a different mindset. Where you can say, this is what the, for whatever reason, this is what the Lord's allowed it for us to have at this time in our life. And you know what? We're going to be thankful for it. We're going to be thankful for it. Stop whining about what you don't have. Start being thankful for what God has given you. Your cup is not half empty, it's half full. So thank God for what is there. How about number four? Watch this. Begin to do something with what you do have. Begin to do something with what you do have. Look at verse 10 and 11. Jesus said, make the men sit down. There was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, a number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, distributed to his disciples. He didn't say, well, let's stare at this basket until something happens. He said, hey, let's get them seated. Let's say grace. Let's start passing it out. Let's use what we do have. Now, folks, what's so exciting about that is as we begin to use what we do have, and God sees that step of faith, oh, faith is such an important thing in this. Then all of a sudden we see God step in and begin to supply what we don't have. When he watches us properly manage what he has given us, boy, God rushes in then to make sure that we can get things to the finish line. And we really begin to understand what it is when the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. And you know what? Romans 14:23 goes so far as to say, whatever is not of faith is sin. That's why God says, here you go. And I look and I go, Lord, that don't seem like enough. I know. But what did I say at the beginning? Not enough plus God is enough. Amen. God doesn't want to give it all to me. He wants to give me enough to get me started. And then he says, now, do you have enough faith to step out? You have enough faith to trust me. Okay. If I gave you more than that, if Philip said, Lord, I don't think we had enough to feed 5,000, but we do have four wagon loads of food over here. He wouldn't have had to say, well, what are they amongst so many? It wouldn't have brought the same level of glory to God. Right. And isn't that what we said this is all about ultimately? Yes, helping others, but ultimately, there's people that looked at Jesus differently through this story. Some of them begin to accept the fact that he's the Messiah. And that's the whole purpose. And so trust God to supply what you do not have. For without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so then, the last one, watch God turn not enough into more than enough. And then we get down to the end of the story, and I'm out of time. But isn't it interesting? Here just a few hours before, they're standing around saying, there's no way we have enough, and there's no way we can do this. And then somebody shows up with this, and they're all staring at it, thinking this is ridiculous, and then all of a sudden, imagine how their faith grew by the time when Jesus stands up and says, hey, you 12, come here. Grab some baskets. Yeah, you're going to need 12 of them. Now scatter around. Pick up the leftovers. Pick up the part that remains. And now they're standing at the end of that looking at 12 baskets full going, isn't God amazing? Isn't God good? And so, folks, listen to me. I don't know how this is going to apply to your life, but I promise you, if you've been listening to the Holy Spirit, there's one of these areas that we've hit, or maybe an area I haven't even touched on, where you've been looking at the air, and it's time to focus on the water that you do have. And by the way, not just focus on that, but put your faith and trust in the one who can fill this thing to overflowing till the cup runs over. Because what it's really all about is bringing glory to God. Let's dismiss in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your watch care over us. And Lord, thank you, dear God, that you don't always give us what we think we need. And Lord, may we find our sufficiency in Christ. And so, Lord, as we take this and we apply it to this week and the weeks ahead, Lord, may you receive glory and honor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.